now from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily.
And welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on a Monday, our first full football weekend of recaps here on Sports Daily. And man, do we have a lot to get to today with you. We will get you all caught up on the NFL weekend, including, since the last time we talked to you, a season-opening loss for the Kansas City Chiefs. We will have that for you. We will have, Tommy, we will have college football recaps, a disappointing weekend for both KU and K-State. The Royals are thick in the middle of the playoff situation. Joining us on the show today, voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, in what is as troubling a time, I would say, that we've seen maybe in the Chris Kleiman era. And as well, we will be joined for the first time from the Chiefs Radio Network, Josh Briscoe. Looking forward to that conversation that'll come up in the next hour as we go back and look at Friday's game in Brazil. It's all What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. With WBC's Delano's debut of the brew, Hatfield's Mama. It's a German Kolsch, clean, crisp character. Smooth and refreshing, make history with Hatfield's Mama, Wichita Brewing Company, Delano's debut brew. Available at all three WBC brew pubs. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I was trying to think earlier how in the world we're going to fit in everything in today's show. So many different games to recap, react to. Not a whole lot of positives from the football world. At least in our neck of the woods to react to today. But it's going to be, I think, a pretty busy show, and we've got a lot to react to today.
Yeah, it was a big weekend. I was watching most of it on the road, which was interesting. I was in Nashville for the last 4 days, got back about 2 a.m. by the time the flight delays got there. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up, and always lots of coffee today. But that was a lot of fun, but you get to see it. You know, when you're not in Chiefs Kingdom, watching a Chiefs game is a little bit different. They're kind of the bad guys. And we'll get to that, but a loss to the Chargers. I think I probably have a little less panic in that than most from what I can tell. There are parts of it that are certainly troubling in the short term, but we'll get into all of that. And of course the college football weekend is, boy, with K-State especially, and I'm glad we've got Wyatt Thompson coming up in the next segment, because I'm not real sure what to make of any of that here today. So that will be good. And then, Tommy, as we also look back at the weekend, and we'll try to cram everything in as best we can today. We sit here, and it's a situation in the playoff standings where the Kansas City Royals are two games out right now with plenty left on the table. So we'll try to get that conversation. We're not going to get our normal Monday visit with Jalen Thompson on that one. He is traveling to Cleveland right now. Actually, he had an early morning flight. So we'll get him later in the week. But the Royals, if you were locked into football, are just two games out now of the wild card. So there's that. If we run out of time.
Yeah, I know you were traveling last night, but we also kind of buried the lead that, not local at all, but one of the craziest comebacks ever in Sunday Night Football, the Bills and the Ravens. The Ravens had a 15-point lead with a few minutes to go, and here comes Josh Allen and the Bills. I mean, it was a heavyweight bout between two extremely dynamic and explosive offenses, and the Bills are able to get it done at home, and it was wild. That was a wild, frenzied comeback last night.
Yeah, I think it was a great way to be in an airport for so long today to just watch that the whole time. So I appreciate them for that. Up until the final plane taking off was when I saw the game-winning field goal right before you have to go into airplane mode. So that was nice. Look, I don't think any of it surprises me. We've seen the Ravens blow big leads late. That's kind of their thing sometimes. I don't know if either team wants to play a lick of defense. If I'm, evaluating that, I think for most people, I think probably from that game, the biggest takeaway is if you're a Chiefs fan, you're like, how are we going to beat them right now? Right? Like if looking at the openers, but I just wouldn't overthink it that much. Two great quarterbacks were on a heater last night. This is the NFL. It's week one. That was a fantastic game, but I don't think we need like over if we're dissecting, you know, who we think our Super Bowl champion is, maybe, and it's one of those teams, you feel great. But even if you pick the Bills or the Ravens, could you really feel good about their defense right now? You couldn't buy any defense last night. So let's not overreact to it. Let's just enjoy the fact that that's one of the better games we've ever seen. And it happened to come in the final window of the opening weekend. It was fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that also you've got major, major storylines developing after week one, like the Packers flexing over the Lions. You know, and I don't think that you can overreact if you are a Lions fan necessarily. Like, I think the Lions are still going to be really good, but the Packers are establishing themselves as potentially a force in the NFC. Aaron Rodgers had a vintage Aaron Rodgers performance, probably some added motivation that you're going up against the Jets. And he said as much in the postgame show that he wanted to beat anybody and everybody associated with the Jets. But four touchdown passes from him. And, you know, he looked like Aaron Rodgers when he was winning MVPs a couple of years ago. So, you know, there were definitely some big takeaways from week one.
Oh, yeah. And of the juiciest offseason drama, that was certainly one of them. Pittsburgh probably needs to figure out how to play defense again. That was a little strange. And then did you see the guy we've been talking about for the last 3 weeks, Micah Parsons? Did you see him after the game? Upset that the Cowboys traded him so close to the start of the season. The guy that requested the trade.
Right.
Remember the dramatic Twitter, you know, but the Packers looked awesome.
They did. They looked really good.
The Lions on the road. We'll see. There were a lot of people making Lions predictions based on the fact they don't play as many games indoors as they did a year ago, which certainly fits their style. But as you see them have to replace coordinators, and we'll see their former offensive coordinator tonight, that was not a good opening salvo for the Lions. They've got to get some stuff figured out. I thought Green Bay was going to have the best defenses in football without Micah Parsons. How about Micah Parsons on a pitch count and how good that defense looked? That defensive line is gnarly. And that's going to take a minute for us to refocus the fact that they're going to be a defense first team. They are really, really good on that side of the ball. They were last year, and they just added Micah Parsons.
And when you combine the Micah Parsons addition to an already solid defense and you have them face off against a Ben Johnson-less Lions offense, that's a big reason why on Friday when we did our Friday football picks, I was all over the Packers, and it's not a knock on the Lions necessarily, but I'm like, man, this has a dominant defensive performance written all over it, and that's what happened.
And I should have been. I know I was just remote. I just sent you picks. I should have been too. It should have been Jared Goff outside. The whole thing was screaming Packers, and I think I took the Lions. But all right, when we come back, we're going to take a quick break. Speaking of the NFL, by the way, you can't count on much these days, but you can always count on the NFL. On Paramount Plus on Sundays, CBS and Paramount Plus is your home for the NFL. But we're going to switch to college football when we come back because K-State, Tommy, maybe should be 0-3 with two of the games they've played coming against Army and North Dakota. I don't know what is happening there in Manhattan, but we're going to ask the voice of the Wildcats next. Wyatt Thompson's going to join us. And it is, you know, it's getting a little dicey, as it should be right now. And they've got to get some stuff figured out. But we'll do it next. That's coming up. Wyatt Thompson joining the program. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. We'll be right back on Sports Daily.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Shocker Nation painting the Kansas State Fair black and yellow on Saturday, September 13th. Shocker Saturday at the Kansas State Fair in Hutch. We're airing a special show live and on-site in the fairgrounds with Wichita State AD Kevin Saul, head coaches Terry Nooner, Brian Green, Christy Breadbinner. Tune in live to KFH on 97.5 and 1240 AM, or check out the in-person live show from the House of Capper at the Kansas State Fairgrounds on Saturday, September 13th. Welcome back in, everybody. And we are joined by Wyatt Thompson. Wyatt, I don't even know where to start other than to say, what in the world's going on here? K-State could be 0-3 with losses to North Dakota and Army very easily. I, where is the turn? I still can't believe we're three games into this thing and doesn't seem like they figured anything out.
Yeah, I think that's more than fair. You look at winning the ball game against North Dakota on basically the final drive of the game. The game in Ireland with Iowa State was down to the wire, and this one was, I'll be honest with you, one of the crazier stat games that I think I've been a part of. Stan and I referenced back to the Navy bowl game a few years ago and post game the other night, but I also kind of thought about the snow game with Iowa State here, where K-State just dominated time of possession and all of that, but gave up four or five monster big plays and lost the game in the snowstorm. This was remarkable in so many different ways. But before we get to that, to try to answer your question, I think it's a little bit telling that K-State is still, I guess, kind of trying to find the right offensive line mix. I think we saw that with, I mean, as an example, Terrence Enos and J.B. Nelson, neither one saw the field on Saturday night. Gus Hawkins got the start at right tackle. I think they're still kind of trying to find who they are there in a couple of those spots. You haven't really had Dylan Edwards all season long. I think Avery has played pretty decent football, but now you have, you know, Bradley injured too, and you don't know the severity of that yet. Hopefully we'll find out more today, but I'm not counting on that. Inconsistency, I think, with the eye discipline with the defense. I mean, there's just special teams things. I mean, you can just kind of go on, and it's a little bit, not a little bit, it's a lot surprising, frankly. Yeah.
I got to tell you, Wyatt, watching Chris Kleiman's presser after the game, that was one of the more frustrated, I think, press conferences that I've seen out of Kleiman in his time at Kansas State. It's difficult because you have to balance having an appropriate amount of frustration and disappointment while still having the backs of his players. And he spoke as much. He said, look, I'm upset right now. I'm disappointed right now, but I believe in these guys. That's a really hard balance to strike, but obviously, you know, I think we could all tell he is not happy right now with the performance of this team.
Without a doubt. And I know there were some that criticized him when he said he was proud of the team's effort, but I think that's all he meant by it. I think when you, and I think defensively is the real thought process here. When you see a team hold the ball for 40 minutes, rush 70 times to your 18, and you're still in the game, I think that tells you why he was proud of the defense. They were out there forever. I remember even saying at one point, the plays were in the second half, I think, were 42-4. I mean, think about that. That's just astonishing. So, yeah, there's frustration. I do have to say, I think he does still like this team. I think they're more than capable of winning games. And yet we have just seen inconsistencies pretty much across the board. And it's frustrating for him, these coaches, players. You just got to find a way to be better. And you know what? Life doesn't get any easier. I think in the preseason, you look at this game coming up Friday night, and you're thinking, well, that there's a win there. And then you come back and do this and do that. And I don't know that you can look at it like that now. I'm just being blunt about it. I don't think you can look at it like that.
It's interesting, Wyatt, when we asked you there, as K-State loses at 24-21, you started kind of with the offense, and I agree with you. I look, the defense, 24 points, new style, but the offense is, to me, has as much responsibility. You can't score 8 points in the second half.
Correct.
For me, like, that can't happen. Is like, and it can't all be a Dylan Edwards thing. So, no. Like, what is not being unlocked appropriately for the offense here? Like, what do they need to do to be the offense we all thought they should be coming into this season?
That's a great question, because I think, again, you go, or I do, I go to the inconsistencies. Maybe you look at the consistency part first. I don't know if you guys agree with this or not, but I think Avery has played enough decent football for this team to have had a shot at 3-0. Do you agree with that?
I would.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So up and above and beyond that, though, I mean, what are we looking at? No Dylan Edwards. The run game has been below par. I mean, guys, I know they didn't have the ball much, but they rushed for 74 yards on Saturday night. 18 attempts. That's the thing I think that's, you know, maybe sticking in the craw of K-State fans, because they are used to a hard-playing, tough, physical football team that wants to run the ball first and foremost, and they're not really doing that, and that puts a lot of pressure on, you know, everything else. They've been inconsistent on first down. They haven't been real good on third down conversions. You're not getting the offensive line push or the consistency there that you want. So it's kind of all over the map, really. And I don't think it's, you know, necessarily a lack of effort or anything like that. It's a lack of results.
Tarleton, real quick on that. Why Tarleton ran the ball for almost 200 yards against Army.
Yes.
Tarleton State.
Yes. And a good FCS team, but I mean, this is a Power Four team that was ranked 17th in the country going into the year. And I think everybody had huge high hopes for this group. And I don't know that any of us saw that coming. And I think that also adds to the frustration, to be honest with you.
You mentioned something, Wyatt, just a moment ago that I think has been a troubling trend over all three of the games that Kansas State has played. And that's the inability to get off the field on third down and even fourth down for that matter. They weren't able to do that in the opener. They struggled against that against North Dakota. Part of the reason why Army dominated time of possession and number of plays ran in the second half was because they were converting on third down, fourth down, all of that. That's been kind of an Achilles heel for Kansas State basically this entire season. Can you pinpoint any reason as to why that continues to happen? Does it go back to that eye discipline that we've been talking about?
Well, I think certainly some of it. Yeah, I'm going to give Army some credit here. I don't want to make them out to be, you know, 1950s Oklahoma running the ball necessarily either. But think about it like this. They had 22 third down conversion opportunities and were 10 of 22. That's pretty good. Yeah. I don't know that it's astonishingly great. But 6 of 7 on third down or on fourth down. And we talked about all week long that this was going to be a low possession game. Do you guys know how many possessions K-State had in this game? Six.
Yeah, six.
I that just blows my mind.
I
mean, I've done a lot of games in my lifetime, and I just don't know that I've seen that kind of number. Here's how weird the game was. You heard Coach Kleiman say in postgame, I'm sure, that the long kickoff return almost hurt them because they were out there forever defensively. They get the return, take the lead back, and then the defense has to go right back out there. I understand why he said it, but it just sounded so odd, and I think it goes with the oddity of this game and the oddity of what's happening with this team.
I'll tell you what it reminds me of a little bit. I think I might have texted this to Tommy. It kind of feels like K-State is starting like KU started last year, where you just kind of scratching your head. You feel like they're the better team and they're losing. The reality for K-State is, though, now none of this matters. Now Arizona, I mean, it matters that they play well. It doesn't really matter. This now becomes a Big 12 thing, right? Yep. Lost to Army and a close win to North Dakota. K-State could win all the rest of their games, and they're probably not an at-large team. Doesn't matter anymore. Now it's a Big 12 thing. So how do you take Arizona, which is not a Big 12 game, reminding folks out there, it's still not a conference game. It was scheduled before Arizona joined the league. How do you go into that and just sort of reset things there? Like, just start from scratch here.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the deal. I mean, when we went into the Army week, it was about getting some things corrected. And Coach Kleiman was frustrated enough saying that, hey, if we don't get the eye discipline correct, there are going to be some guys that don't see the field, right? You saw him, and I mentioned this with a couple of linemen who had been starters that didn't see the field. So they're trying to get some things figured out. But I'm not sure if I have an easy answer for you on that. To be honest, I don't. I think you just go back to, you know, kind of what you try to be, who you are. I remember him telling the guys before the Iowa State game, be who we are, and we're fine. And I think they were probably closer with Iowa State than they were the next two games. I don't know if you agree with that or not, but I believe that in my heart. So I still think there is potential for this team to get this thing turned a little bit, but it's going to have to start with the consistency, turning the inconsistencies into consistency, whether that's first down, getting a better push with the offensive line in the run game, you know, having more guys be productive offensively, defense. I think the defense, you know, Army is hard to judge defensively because they're so different and unique. But I thought K-State played a solid defensive game in Ireland. Certainly not so much other than the third quarter against North Dakota. And then the other night, it's just, they just couldn't get off the field. And some of it is, you know, Army's toughness and their scheme and all of that. So I say wash it and let's kind of do a little start over here, because you're right. You can't do anything about where you're at other than move forward. And that's what I think they'll probably try to do. This is all of a sudden, this game at Arizona, man, it's a big game. You get it, you have a week off, then you got to see UCF. You know, maybe you can get the thing turned a little bit, you know, here in the next couple of 2 or 3 weeks.
Wyatt, tell me if I'm off base in my thought process here, but that whole phrase of be who we are and we'll be fine.
Yeah,
I think that's absolutely accurate. I hope that that message has been conveyed not only to the players, but to the play callers as well, especially offensively. Because at the end of the day, I mean, I feel like in that Army game, and I know in a limited possession game, you don't have a big time body of work, but I feel like there have been a lot of times throughout the course of this season early on where the ball's been taken out of Avery Johnson's hands. And right now, without Dylan Edwards on the field, I know they want to establish the run game, but if it's be who we are, right now we have to be an Avery Johnson team. We cannot take the ball out of his hands. We cannot continue to go back to the well with a run game and an offensive line that's not able to deliver in the way that we need it to, especially in limited possessions. And I sort of feel like, and I've seen this floating around social media a little bit, that, you know, I've seen a lot of the fan base saying Avery Johnson deserves better. Like, he deserves to be unlocked and let loose and plays being designed around him and not going away from him and all of that. Is that off base to think that be who we are also has to extend to the play calling?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that is about as perfectly said to cover the entire K-State fan base right now, Tommy, don't you?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what everybody is saying, right? I don't think there's any question about that. And I get it. I understand it. I mean, we said it going into the year. We want to see Avery take that next big step. And, you know, I think he's a better foot. This is just me now. I think he's a better football player now than he was at any time last year in his first year as a starter. But I also think you're right that the fans want to see K-State cut him loose in the run game. I'm not talking 20, 25 carries, but I think he has to be a bigger part of it. And it's easy for me to say that. I think the coaches want to keep him healthy because I don't think they want to think about where they might be if he is out an extended period of time. So they're trying to protect him some too, and I respect and appreciate that. So there's a fine line there. You know, we talked about this last week, but he's such a dynamic run threat. I think you have to – hey, you hear coaches say all the time, we got to play to our strengths. That's one of the strengths.
It's got to get turned around late night, Friday night football, Wyatt. You guys will have it right here. Late kick against Arizona. Last, for just a couple of minutes left, Dylan Edwards, what do you think? Is he going to give it a go?
I think there's a chance. I would say on this Monday, without talking to Coach Klieman before the presser this afternoon, I'd say maybe a 40-60 chance. Yep. That's just me. Hopefully we'll find out more either today or maybe Wednesday. I'm sure there's part of Chris Klieman that's thinking with an ankle sprain that if you can go get this one without him and then a week off, then you have him after the bye week. Maybe that is in play here, probably more detail than you wanted there. But, I think all of us would like to see him back, but you also want to see him back healthy. And with the way he plays, he needs to be playing on a healthy ankle. That's obvious. And this will be a hard game. You know, that last year, I think Arizona was introduced to the league and they got a little bit overwhelmed physically, but they've done a really good job in the portal. They've got some receivers, not just Teteroa McMillan. He's gone now in a pro, but they'll be hard. And they're at night. I hope we don't have a 2-hour delay like they did the other night against Weber State. I can tell you that.
Yeah, they got two wins out of the gates, yeah. Two pretty impressive ones. Wyatt, we appreciate it. We're out of time today. Let's all hang in there. We got a long season to go. We'll just focus on the Big 12.
You betcha. Thank you, fellas.
There goes Wyatt Thompson. Man, it's tough time in K-State land right now. That's for sure. When we come back, we're going to talk about KU. Also, losers this weekend. I don't think nearly as damning as K-State. I thought KU, you know, KU represented themselves well on the road at Missouri. So we'll talk about that when we return. And then we've still got tons of NFL to talk about, including the Chiefs. Josh Briscoe is going to join us from the Chiefs Radio Network coming up in the next hour. All kinds of good stuff for you here on Sports Daily. So stick around. We've got giveaways for you as well today. It's all coming in this edition here. Man, Tommy, K-State fan. Just get it. Something. Got to get it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, and look, I understand that the path, you know, for them long term is they've got to go after a Big 12 championship. And I've heard you say that a few different times. This is not a team that's going to win the Big 12. I'll tell you right now, they're not.
Seen the last 2 weeks.
And eventually you have to get to a point to where, you know, this is who they are. It's not just the way that they're playing right now. It's who they. And I don't think that they are a Big 12 championship caliber team. They'll win games. I mean, don't get me wrong. They're going to win games. They're not a conference champion. It's just not in the cards, I don't think.
Well, they're certainly not playing like one. And whether they can get there, I guess, is the story now of their season. But more on that throughout the week here. When we come back, let's talk KU on Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
Dude, you got to hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. Thanks to Crestview Country Club for their support of the program here on Sports Daily. Tommy, you had the big internal golf tournament there this weekend. How'd that go?
It was good. It was a long weekend. You're tired because you traveled. I'm tired because I played a bunch of golf this weekend, but it was fun. Beautiful weather this weekend. Played 27 holes on Saturday, played 18 holes on Sunday. My team did not make it into the playoff, which that's a grind as well. So it was fun though. We had a really good time. And the cool thing about that tournament out at Crestview is that it's the member base. It's not a member guest. So you're not bringing in a bunch of other people that maybe you don't know and you'll never see again. It's an opportunity for the membership to hang out together for a weekend. And it's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, nobody asked me to be on their team this year.
Well, you were out of town. You were gone. Sure.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. That's what it was. You said I'm tired, Tommy. My wife and I. So yesterday, it's like, all right, we're gonna have this last day in Nashville. We got a hotel room. It was awesome. We were down there, and Sunday was just gonna be like, we're just gonna hang. We're gonna watch football. We're gonna explore. We both got food poisoning.
Fun.
Bad barbecue.
Mm.
So the entire day yesterday, we're both just like, that's a fun way to end it when you book the late flight so you can enjoy the last day. Man, tired is.
Was it all out of your system by the time you actually made it on the plane?
No, absolutely not.
Yikes.
No. Right now I'm dealing with it. Hers struck a bit earlier than mine, and then once mine hit, I was like, there was only one time we ate the same thing, and it was a barbecue joint. We both had the brisket. And I'm like, well, we know what it was. But that's been pleasant. No, it was good. I tell you what, I'll spend some time in that city. I had a blast. Like, it is perfect. If you like live music, that those first couple of nights, like, you couldn't do anything but just, like, you walk in and it's almost like full band piano bars everywhere, right? Like, you've got these insanely talented people just playing all kinds of different music. And it's everywhere. It's everywhere. There were more people there than I've seen in Vegas in years. It was crazy. I guess, what do they call it, Nash Vegas?
Oh, heck yeah. I love it. I've gone a couple times, and you do all the sightseeing during the day, Grand Ole Opry and Country Music Hall of Fame and like all these different things. And then at night, that's when the city comes alive and you've got all the live music and all the great bars and honky tonks and all. I love it. It's fun.
Honky tonks are my wheelhouse. I didn't get in. We stopped at the Grand Ole or at the Country Music Hall of Fame, and I didn't have a chance to get in. So I've got to go back and do some of that sightseeing. All right, Tommy, let's talk KU here. Look, I don't like that they lost. It was 42-31 there. Missouri, too much in the fourth quarter, 21 second half points. Kansas started hot and kind of sputtered out offensively. So, you know, by the end of it, when you look, Mizzou has them doubled up in yards. Mizzou, the offense that we thought they might have going into the game eventually showed up. I don't want to say it's like a good loss because I don't think that at all. But I don't think it was anything that should derail some early season momentum for the Jayhawks as they go into a bye week before Big 12 play. I think KU is probably in better shape than those of us like me who are just kind of in wait and see mode with them this year. Like, they're better than that. But I mean, I don't like that they lost to Mizzou.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's not a good loss, quote unquote. You never want to lose to your hated rival like that, especially the very first time that you matched up against them in a long time. You go to their place, you knew it was going to be a hostile environment. You know, but look, Kansas jumped out to an early lead. They kind of flexed early on. It was 21-6 at one point. And you're like, okay, like this might be the makings of an upset here. It might be something that can, you know, long term be really, really solid and springboard the Jayhawks to where they want to be this season. And then there were a couple of things that were not unlike the Kansas State Army game. It was like Missouri held on to the ball. The possession really favored Missouri in the same way that in the K-State Army game, Army held on to the ball and never let it go. There was a period of time, I believe it was late in the first half, when Missouri, I think they ran 30 out of 31 plays, and they had a really long, sustained offensive drive that went down the field. And then they scored, and then Kansas got the ball back. The very first play, Jalen Daniels fumbles it for a safety. And then all of a sudden, Missouri gets the ball again for another long, sustained offensive drive that resulted in a score. And then just like that, going into the locker room, it's a tie ball game. And then it was just overwhelmingly Missouri offensively. They sort of imposed their will on the Jayhawks. That being said, I think that there are some positive takeaways for Kansas. I think that you can look at the passing game, and there were a couple of mistakes from Jalen Daniels. He had a hard time holding onto the football at times, obviously. But you've got pass catchers for Kansas that are extremely dynamic, and we've seen them come alive over the first three games of the year for Kansas. I think the fact that you've got this connection between Jalen Daniels and the pass catchers now on this roster, that's going to bode well for them in Big 12 play. I think there are some positive takeaways that you can walk away from that game and look ahead to the future for. But of course, yeah, that you never want to lose to your rival like that, especially when you've built up a double-digit lead.
Yeah, well, right. And when you thought you had a chance there for much of the game, like, yeah, you might have there was a moment there that it looked like KU was going to have it, and then it got away from him a little bit. And then there was another moment where you're like, well, maybe. And then you look at it at the end of the day, and that stuff, you know, with ball control just screams at you. Like, man, KU just never had the ball. But how good is Missouri? I don't know. They've certainly looked good so far this year. How does KU stack up with what else we've been seeing in the Big 12? I think pretty well, right? I think, I don't know how you feel about it, Tommy, but it's probably better than my expectations. Baylor had a huge win over the weekend. Iowa State had a big win. I don't know how good Iowa actually is, but Iowa State got their rivalry win. Texas Tech hadn't played anybody.
Arizona State falls. I mean, Arizona State gets upset, you know, and
And they tried to come back in that game. And they were getting their tail kicked. It was like 17-3. And they did try to come back, but they did. Yeah, they fell. BYU looked good, but I don't think Stanford's supposed to be any good. So if you, look, as we stack up KU against all those teams, I mean, they look okay, right? They look like they could be a top half team, I think. I don't think that's overly optimistic. I think this could be a top half Big 12 team and, you know, have a chance in most of the Big 12 games they play to get wins.
I would wholeheartedly agree with that. I mean, I think from what we've seen from them early on, you know, they're from an offensive point of view, they are dynamic. They can be dynamic. They can make some mistakes, but they can be dynamic. I like the 1-2 punch in Daniel Hyshaw and LeSean Williams running the football. I wasn't sure what to expect from Daniel Hyshaw being the number one, being the lead back on this team. I think that he has, I mean, he runs it a little bit differently than what we've been accustomed to over the years for the Jayhawks.
Same but kind of juice.
When you've got LeSean Williams to back you up, I mean, that's a nice 1-2 punch there at running back for the Jayhawks. I mentioned the pass catchers. I've been incredibly impressed with them. Emmanuel Henderson, Cam Pickett, and others. I think that they're great. Tight end wise, you know, you've got Bodie Groen and you've got some of these other guys that they've been able to make an impact also early on. For me, the biggest question mark, and we really saw this come to light in the game against Missouri. It didn't happen against Wagner. It didn't happen against Fresno State. But defensively, can Kansas get off the field in critical third downs? And can they stop drives? Can they get the ball back? Missouri did a really good job of converting. They did that, especially in the second half. They were able to hold on to the football. They were able to keep it to where they didn't give the ball back to Kansas much at all. And so those are my biggest question marks, I think, for Kansas moving forward.
Yeah, I think Hyshaw, I like Hyshaw. He doesn't have the same juice as a guy like Devin Neal. Obviously, they didn't run the ball at all in this one against Missouri. I mean, if you took Jalen Daniels out of it, Tommy, what did Hyshaw and Williams, 9 carries for 11 yards, I think it was. I do think this will be a pass-heavy team. I think the pass catchers have looked good. How many, what was it, 3? Or it was at least 2. Jalen Daniels misses to, I think he missed Henderson once, and maybe Henderson had a better opportunity. Those were touchdown throws, right? Like, and that happened twice. I think offensively this is going to be a pass-heavy team.
I think
before,
so, too.
And before it's all said.
As much as I like those pass catchers, and I can go on and on and on about how I like the connection with Daniels, and especially knowing who he was losing at wide receiver, wasn't sure exactly how these guys were going to gel early on. I think overall it's been good. There were some critical drops in Saturday's game. Emmanuel Henderson had one that, you know, you've got to haul in. And there were some that were, you know, that the fate of the game hung in the balance, and they needed to convert offensively, and you had a couple of drops. And so you've got to clean that up, especially when you get into conference play. But overall, generally speaking, I think this retooled offense, other than Jalen Daniels, it's exceeded my expectations through 3 games.
Yeah, me too. They in general have exceeded my expectations through 3 games. I think that game was closer than 11 points, and that's a weird thing to say because Missouri dominated the box score, but those dropped passes, the one would have been a touchdown for sure, and I think that was the one Jalen Daniels just missed on. I don't think that was the drop, but I think KU going into a bye week can feel pretty good. Next, West Virginia is up next.
They're not good at all. Yeah, they're not good at all.
Ohio. Yeah, this weekend. So that'll be a game. KU will probably be favorites in, and that's where we look next with the Jayhawks. But they get a week off here. They don't play again. Good timing for them, and they'll have a chance to regroup a little bit and put it out there on display in the Big 12. But it looks like a bowl eligible team to me for sure. That might be, you know, the middle of the expectation, and then we'll see how much better than that they can get. All right, coming up here on Sports Daily, we still have plenty to come. We've got another hour coming your way, including our first conversation of the year, first conversation on this show with Joshua Briscoe, who is part of the Chiefs Radio Network now. We'll have a lot to talk about with the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll start to do that in the next hour. We'll look elsewhere around the NFL, too, in that opening weekend in the next hour as well. It's all coming for you here And just a reminder, Royals fans will have a chance to spend a little more time with the Royals tomorrow. They are two games out of the wild card with a series coming up in Cleveland. And you know, don't look now, but the Guardians have sort of they've played their way back into this thing. They're not all the way out of it. So this becomes a big series with Cleveland, who's just 2.5 games back. Kansas City, 2 games back coming into the day. So pretty critical. And that'll be here tonight on KFH. All right, we'll come back. A lot of football talk, a lot of NFL talk in the next hour of Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. Don't go away.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here with you on a Monday, a big Monday following a big weekend, the opening weekend of the NFL. We will have a lot of that in this hour of the program. Our thanks to Wyatt Thompson for joining us in the last hour. K-State fans, if you missed any of that, pretty pointed discussion there with the voice of the Wildcats. You can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Coming up in this hour, we will have from the Chiefs Radio Network, Joshua Briscoe for the first time. Looking forward to the conversations with Josh about the Chiefs and their opener, as we've got a lot to discuss with it, and we will. It's all what's on tap. Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Pep Pepperoni Pizza that's topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pep Pepperoni now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Tommy, let's jump right into the Chiefs. Look, the Worthy injury long-term is a big problem, potentially. Although I'm getting mixed reports on that and how quickly he could be able to come back. But it's a big problem. Other than that, I'm not really, I don't think I'm as worried as everybody seems to be. Like, they lost a game to the Chargers. Okay. That could have happened in week 12. It could have happened whether Worthy got hurt or Worthy didn't get hurt. I think there are little things, obviously, in the game that we wondered about to begin the year. Is the defense going to have enough this year? They certainly did not on Friday. But the whole narrative of watching, I'm just telling you, like, watching the Ravens and the Bills, like, the Chiefs aren't going to be able to beat them. Like, I think people are panicking a little bit on the Chiefs after one game. And I like, it's one game. They're going to have a hard time without Worthy and Rice. There's no doubt about it. We knew they weren't going to win 15 games this year. I just don't think any of this is that big a deal other than that Worthy injury.
Yeah, I don't think that overreacting is the right thing to do, but then also did you watch the game? Like, there was very little that I think stood out as, okay, this looks really good. Like, other than the offensive line play looked really good. And compared to what we had saw basically the entirety of the previous season, that was a nice takeaway. Other than that, they didn't look very good. It wasn't just the fact that they lost by 7 to the Chargers, but again, you've got personnel issues with, you know, now you're down Worthy for who knows how long he's going to be out. You've got a pretty thin wide receiver core all of a sudden, and there wasn't a whole lot of spark there, not a whole lot of juice there. Patrick Mahomes, and this has become something that's more, I think, more rule than exception over the last couple of seasons. His downfield shots didn't look great. And I know that it's partly because he hasn't had the personnel to be able to execute that. But there were some shots he took that he was off on. Defensively, they looked pretty poor, I thought, at varying times.
I agree.
They could not stop Justin Herbert at all. The running game, Amarian Hampton looked solid. And there were some plays that, you know, it's his first game in the NFL, and he's running all over the Chiefs' run defense. And so there were definitely, I think, some concerning things. I'm not panicking. I'm not overreacting. I'm not saying that they're washed or they're cooked or they're not gonna be able to be competitive in the division or the conference or even make it back to a Super Bowl. But there were certainly some concerning takeaways.
There were, and look,
Hampton, I'm not going to downplay it and say, it's one game, no big deal. Like, no, there were some things that stood out to me that might be problems moving forward.
I think the problem moving forward is the wide receivers, but I also think Hollywood Brown stepped up and did a pretty good job. I thought Mahomes did, like, all things considered, you don't have Rashee Rice. We know what Xavier Worthy means to this offense. We learned that last year, especially what he developed into over the end of the season. That's the problem. Like, what, okay, now without Rice or Worthy, what happens? At least Hollywood Brown is okay. I look, Hampton averaged like 3 yards a carry. I think he's fine. I don't think,
yeah, but
I'm
he
not
broke off a couple
Chiefs
of big ones that the Chiefs were unable to stop.
Right. I thought before the year the Chiefs defense was the potential problem for this team. Now they have more than and problem is relative. Like, they're not going to be the same defense they have been the last 2 years, which is one of the best in football, which means the offense is going to be a little bit better. I think the offense should be, but now
should
that's
be.
Where I keep, right. Well, but now without Worthy, I'm like, ooh, I don't know now. It's at least going to take some time, right? Because you had set things up for Rice, for Worthy to be Rice, just like he was a year ago. And you're like, okay, they can withstand that Rashee Rice suspension and they'll be okay. Now through these 6 weeks, because I bet you Worthy misses most of them while Rice is out. That's where I think things get really interesting, because is this a defense that can bail them out like it has the last 2 years while the offense tried to figure its way out? I don't know that it can, and we all know how bad this schedule is for Kansas City early on. I mean, Tommy, it's Eagles, then it's Giants, but then it's Ravens. We could be looking at a 1-3 team going into Jacksonville, who looked pretty good yesterday on Monday Night Football. I think that's absolutely possible. And in fact, I think there'll be dogs against Philadelphia. I think they are. And there'll be dogs against Baltimore, even at home. So, yeah, you could be looking at 1-3 for this team. I think it's going to be important to not, like, think about what's happening right now, because they're going to have a hard time overcoming this for a little while. But don't let that derail, like, they're washed, they have no chance in the division. Like, they're last place in the AFC West right now. Everybody else won.
How about this for you? They have not won a game since January 30th. They lost the Super Bowl, all three preseason games, and then on Friday.
I just don't want it. Like, they could be 1-3 with two losses at home. I think that absolutely could happen to this team. It's going to be a year like that. It might have been anyway. Like, they could have been fully healthy and lost to the Chargers. The Chargers are good. They could lose to the Eagles are good. The Ravens are good. Like, it was never going to be 15 wins a year ago. They just have to be good by the end of the season. We know now, based on 2 years ago, that can be enough for them to go win a Super Bowl. But I just want to get out ahead of the panic that's probably coming about 2 or 3 weeks from now, when maybe they're 1-3 or 2-2 and these things are happening. There's just, like, at this point, there's not really a whole lot you can do about it. You've got to figure out now how to be down your two top receivers. That offensive line you mentioned, that'll help. That'll help. And they did look good.
And look, I'm good defense. I'll agree with you. It's not panic time. I think after one game, I don't think you panic. But I do think it's okay to have an appropriate level of concern, an appropriate level of concern defensively, an appropriate level of concern about the fact that now you have an extremely thin wide receiver room. I think it's okay to be concerned about the fact that really the running game never really established itself in that game as well. I think that there are some things that, you know, you look at and you're like, okay, they were in it. It was within a touchdown. They had an opportunity to be able to potentially go and win the game. They weren't able to get the ball back and make that happen, but there were some opportunities for them to get back in it. So you're thinking, okay, maybe deja vu. It's the Chiefs, like, down to the wire in every game like it was a year ago. And it just so happened that this time around, they weren't on the right side of it when they were on the right side of all of those a season ago. So panic, I think we're too far away from that at this point. But I do think an appropriate level of concern is okay. I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, they'll be fine. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. It's going to be fine. I think that there are some things that you have to look at, like, they've got to get better there.
I agree. But does any of that concern, not the concern you had coming into the season? Because it's all the same concern. Like, we did our predictions a couple of weeks ago, and it's like the Chiefs aren't going to be as good defensively, and they're skating on thin ice without Rice in that wide receiver room. Obviously, we didn't expect Worthy to go down as early as he did, but these were already concerns. The concerns to me just, like, they're not just now setting in, or they don't, like, these have always been the concerns, and now they don't have Worthy. Dad on X says, not panic mode, but the non-existent run game is a concern. They're behind the top tier teams in the league. I think Pacheco looked better than they've got to have a chance to regame plan now. They're going to need to run the ball, and I cannot tell you
they won't.
Bad. I don't want to talk about that every week again.
They won't.
but Pacheco's there now. Last year they ran the ball last year more than they ever have.
But doesn't it make it that much harder? Because when you talk about the cream of the crop in the AFC, and we saw them both in action last night, and you've got Derrick Henry on one sideline and James Cook on the other sideline. And I know Henry had a phenomenal game. Cook looked good, as he usually does. You kind of like yearn for that if you're a Chiefs fan. You're like, man, like the, and it's not a knock on Pacheco. That's not their identity. Yeah. It's not their style. It's not what they do.
And they have to change it. And if Mahomes is going to run the way he ran, that can be a part of it too. It certainly is for Buffalo and the Ravens. And maybe that's the short-term counter to what they're going to have to deal with now. But it's all, boy, it's like everything that was a concern coming in, I think, was on display, especially after the Worthy injury. And you're like, well, let's test the theory here. But I just don't be surprised if they lose some games early this year. I think that's coming, and it may have been coming anyway. Let's talk to Josh Briscoe about it when we return from the Chiefs Radio Network. Zalbrock and Castro at Sports Daily. Don't go away.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, and welcome back into Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster here. We are joined for the first time this year. Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Radio Network in. We've had a few days here. Josh, it's you messaged us before. Yeah, just recheck the box score. The Chiefs lose the opener. They did. I think before we get into it, though, welcome to Sports Daily, by the way.
Thank you for having me. I wish I brought better news or a more fun game to look back on. We had a great weekend of football. I can talk about the weekend of football all you want.
Yeah. No, look, I don't. Where were you with the Chiefs before the year? For me anyway, who's picked them to win the Super Bowl, I think each of the last 3 years, maybe even four, I didn't have them there this year. And I think some of the reasons we saw the Bills and the Ravens, I thought they both got better in the offseason. But it was, you know, the Chiefs defense, I didn't think there was any chance they could be as good as they had been the last 2 years. And we knew they were on thin ice with the receivers. Well, bye Worthy. And now it's going to have to be defense led probably at least for the next 3 or 4 weeks. And their schedule is terrible.
Yeah, I think I was, and I don't know, spoiler alert, maybe I still am in a place where I expect them to be one of the final three teams in the AFC. And you could bet this every year with Patrick Mahomes, and you'd be right every year to say that they will be in the AFC championship game. I certainly never lowered my expectations below that coming into the season. I think now a fun question that I'm just going to be asking throughout the week until I know the answer is, like, would you pick them to miss the AFC championship game right now? If I said right now, I need you to liquidate some funds and tell me, is Patrick Mahomes missing the AFC championship game for the first time in his career? I'm not in a place where I'm willing to predict that, in large part because I think some of those issues will be better in the back half of the season with Rashee Rice and all of that. But the thing I was saying before Chiefs Chargers that feels cursed in retrospect is that this isn't one of those week one games you can sleepwalk through and have no consequences. This isn't the Lions game of a couple years back where Kadarius Toney dropped every pass, Chris Jones is in the box, Travis Kelce is hurt. Well, it's an NFC team and we'll figure things out. And they did. The Chiefs now are alone at the bottom of the AFC West. I mean, that's an annoying place to start. I really do think that, like, 1-3 is on the table in these first four games. funnily enough, I think 12-5 is on the table, even if they do start 1-3. But like you said, I think the big stressor for me is that several of those issues on Friday night were things we've been talking about all off season, if not for the last year.
You know, we certainly know that Xavier Worthy goes down early in that game, Joshua, and what are we hearing about him? I mean, I feel like there hasn't been a whole lot of updates one way or the other. Is this something in your mind that you think is a relatively short bounce back for Worthy, or should the Chiefs be preparing to potentially be without him for a while?
I apologize. This computer that I only use for being connected to the internet so I can talk into this microphone decided it wasn't in a real place to me to hear that entire question. I heard Xavier Worthy in the timeline, I suppose.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything at this point that gets him back around the same time that Rashee Rice comes back feels like kind of a win to me. Obviously, it's going to be a bit of a struggle in his absence for however long that ends up being. And it seems like the report we got yesterday was like, oh, it could be, you know, 2 weeks or the entire season or anything in between. So I'm hoping we get something a little more stable from Andy Reid here shortly, and maybe we can kind of build around that some. But like we mentioned earlier on, this was a wide receiver room that at full health with everybody available, I think it's a pretty good wide receiver room. Well, you remove Rashee Rice, and again, this is something I was talking about last week, and it feels like a monkey's paw now. You go, okay, well, yeah. Without Rashee Rice, with everybody else, I think it's an okay room. Xavier Worthy can be kind of a stretch number one, if you will. And you see, all right, Hollywood steps up and Juju steps up and no Jalen Royals in week one. Well, now you take the top two pieces out of that. And to me, it's why I think my lasting takeaway from Chiefs Chargers is that I understand what happened with the offense. You didn't have your number one weapon and your new number one weapon, the guy who you'd been game planning around for weeks, right? Like building this game plan. We're going to be without Rashee Rice. What do we do? You lose him on the third play of the game. So I have some sympathy, I think, for how painful the offense looked. The flatness of it all seems inexcusable. Andy Reid talked about it. Patrick Mahomes talked about it. Chris Jones talked about it. It's no secret. I don't know what happened there, but it appears to be a problem all throughout. Defensively, I am left pretty cold because that was plan A on defense. It was plan C or plan D on offense.
All right, how about a new plan A on offense? I don't know that I have the energy or the stamina to ask every week if the Chiefs can run the ball a little bit more. But I think that's where we're going to end up with this thing again. They ran the ball more last year than they have in a very long time. I think it's got to be at least that in the next 3 or 4 weeks. Anyway, you've got Pacheco back. Mahomes is showing us he's willing to run around a little bit. They're going to have to be run based at least for a minute through these games while they can get the plan at pass catcher figured out.
Can you take any of that burden off of Patrick Mahomes' shoulders? I think that's a way that you can do it. Ideally, yeah. To your point, like they ran it last year. They ran it effectively and efficiently, but obviously not explosively in any way whatsoever. You do have Isaiah Pacheco back. You did bring in Breshard Smith. And again, I think the running back room is another one of those units that is tall enough to ride the ride, but not a whole lot taller. But I kind of think that Isaiah Pacheco got a little bit of a raw deal last year when he comes back off a broken leg and he doesn't look like himself. And everyone's like, well, he's cooked. Yeah, his leg was in, this part of his leg was in two pieces an hour and a half ago. Of course, it's taking him some time to get back up to full speed. So I'm at that point now where I do want to see a little more from Pacheco. Obviously, his vision has been a bit of a point of contention in recent years. And you saw Kareem Hunt last year just sort of have plus NFL veteran running back vision to see what's in front of him. But the run blocking should also be about, you know, a degree better now. Look, Joe Tooney is like a mile and a half ahead of Kingsley Sumatii as a pass blocker. Joe Tooney is a cyborg and a tremendous football player. But in the ground game, Josh Simmons at left tackle and Kingsley Sumatii at left guard with Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, those should be some people movers. And so that was sort of a more subtle thing that I was a little bit bummed about on Friday, that the only running game that really worked consistently was Patrick Mahomes going and doing it himself. And we know that he can do that for a game or two or three in the playoffs. but you do not want Patrick Mahomes having to go hero ball to keep your head above water in September. That's too soon to pull that card on a regular basis.
I know that it's pretty easy, Joshua, to look at the wide receivers, and obviously we've talked about how they were down Rice, they were down Worthy. You don't have Jalen Royals, so the top options, you know, for the most part for Patrick Mahomes were not there. But there were a couple of passes that Mahomes made downfield that were not good at all. And I almost feel like that's almost happening more and more and more. And I know that schematically, I feel like the Chiefs have not, they didn't lean on that a year ago. They didn't have the personnel to be able to do that. One of my concerns is, man, I hope that because the Chiefs didn't prioritize downfield football over the last couple of years, I hope that Patrick Mahomes still has that in his bag. I hope he can still do that, because that's going to have to be, especially once that wide receiver room gets healthy, a large part of their offense. I hope he can still execute that.
Yeah, it is going to have to be a large part of the offense, and I think that's why that's one of the few things here I'm content to kind of leave in the oven for a couple more weeks and see what comes out, because you're right. Last year, I mean, think back to the Xavier Worthy deep balls last year, where I think I did like a whole story at the time. I was like, this one was on Worthy, this one was on Mahomes, this one was 50-50. You can sit, come out in the wash. About half of that responsibility was Worthy's spatial awareness as a rookie. About half of it was Mahomes missing throws you expect him to make. The frustrating thing last year is I remember so clearly during training camp last season talking about the return of the deep ball, because Hollywood was there and Xavier Worthy was a rookie and you're seeing it all come together. And then obviously Hollywood misses almost the entire season. Well, now it's like, okay, here comes the deep ball. Now they're healthy until the third snap from scrimmage on the offensive side of the football. And now you're kind of back to not quite square one, but back a square. Hollywood looked like a guy, especially in the first half, who hadn't played a meaningful rep of football since February, which was what he was, and then stepped up a little bit in the second half. So I have a little bit of hope from Hollywood. I've been really impressed in the right expectation here. I've been really impressed with Tyquan Thornton. I think you can be impressed with Tyquan Thornton as like a Justin Watson kind of MVS replacement. It doesn't mean that he's going to eventually be a Travis Kelce replacement, right? But like, I think his role in this offense makes a lot of sense, especially now, assuming you're going to be without Worthy for some period of time. It's really hard for me to be as excited about it as I was a few days ago, though, because Xavier Worthy was the deep ball accelerator that we wanted to see more and more of. So I think even without Worthy, though, I think they have to stay committed to it, because Tyquan Thornton can do some of that field stretching. Hollywood can do some of that. But now you are relying so much on Juju Smith-Schuster and Travis Kelce, and then maybe eventually Jalen Royals. Maybe we're getting a lot of Jason Brownlee, who got that target late in the game in the end zone, and you're really cobbling together a receiver room in those intermediate ranges.
Looking ahead to the Eagles, Joshua Briscoe, Chiefs Radio Network, joining us. Appreciate these visits this year. It's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope.
I watched Justin Herbert kind of run on the Chiefs a little bit, and then I see the Eagles coming up, and we know what Jalen Hurts is capable of in this rematch. That it starts there, doesn't it? Like, you got to stop him on the ground if you're going to have a chance to win that game against the Eagles. I mean, the Cowboys were in that game. The Chiefs defense might struggle this year. It ain't going to be as bad as the Cowboys defense. So I think it's going to need to be kind of a low scoring, grind it out, stop their run, old school football game.
Our brains went to the same scared place. I cracked open the schedule just to remind myself. I was like, yep, Jalen Hurts, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson. Excellent. The last play against the Chargers, Chris Jones has worn it, and rightfully so. Chris Jones is both the least of the defense's problems and was making a mistake on that play. Both of those things can be true. I think I tweeted like three different times, like, and they play Jalen Hurts next week. You have to be better at some of those things, and it's why I'm really curious. And Steve Spagnuolo doesn't overreact very much. He goes in with the plan. He'll adjust, obviously. The defense will look very different in week two and week 15, but you don't see a whole lot of dramatic switch-ups from him defensively on, like, okay, Shamari Connor played 98% of the snaps or whatever it was on Friday. Now he's not seeing the field next week. I don't think that's probably going to happen. So I think they obviously going into that game, they're going to respect Hurts' legs a little more than they did Justin Herbert's, which is, you know, in retrospect, maybe a bit of a mistake. Again, Herbert it didn't really matter what the Chargers did. They were converting third down all night. The Chiefs defense could not get off the field. So you have to, with Hurts, maybe this is the silver lining. you have to be able to make him make throws. The problem is if you let him get a deep ball shot off to AJ Brown, he's going to make that throw more often than not too. Like I enjoy some good natured ribbing towards Jalen Hurts, not being certainly one of my top five quarterbacks. Maybe he's around that 10 number, but he is dangerous in so many ways. What the Chiefs did with Herbert was get, I mean, I don't mean to exaggerate, but virtually no pressure on him. So little pressure all night. I guess with Jalen Hurts, you can do a little bit more of that wrangling game they've done a little bit in years past, and you try to just keep him home and crush the walls around him like the trash compactor in Star Wars. Just try to squeeze Jalen Hurts and then make him get rid of the ball a little more quickly than you want him, than he wants to. I just don't know how effectively they're going to be able to do that. They have to be gap sound. They cannot let him escape and turn a negative play into a 15-yard carry. I'm sure it'll happen a couple of times. He's really, really good at that. But you're right. I both feared the Eagles terribly during the first half of Eagles Cowboys and was ready to throw in the towel a little bit watching Justin Herbert do that with his legs. I do think the second half of that game gives you some cause for hope. And obviously, if the Chiefs needed any more wake-up calls this year, I think the team that embarrassed them on national television in February as a return game for getting embarrassed on international television on Friday, you just have to believe that they're coming out with all of the energy for that game they can possibly muster. And if they lose that, we're going to have another bummer chat next week, I assume.
Is that priority when you're game planning Jalen Hurts like that? That priority's got to be on the defensive line, right? To be able to try to keep him home, to contain him and all of that. There were a few moments in the game on Friday. I don't know if you saw this all the time like I did, but I'm like, man, the Chargers are triple teaming Chris Jones right now. Like, clearly they are not taking anybody else on that defensive line seriously. And for me, that was a major concern with the Mike Pinnell, situation. And they bring back Derek Nnadi after letting him walk and all of that. Clearly there's not a whole lot of hope in that defensive line outside of Chris Jones.
Yeah, the triple teaming of Chris Jones and then begging someone else to beat you is absolutely what the Chargers were doing, and it's absolutely what everybody did all of last season, and it's what most teams did the year before, and it's usually what happened the year before that. And at some point, you look around and just go, man, is there more juice to be squeezed out here? And that's obviously, look, everybody loves George Karlaftis. I think he is a plus football player and a useful player. They just paid him a ton of money this offseason to keep him around for a very long time. Maybe they're expecting another step from him at some point. But the Chargers went out there on Friday with Trey Pipkins, who the fan base wanted cut this offseason. He's back starting at right tackle because Rashawn Slater gets hurt. Joe Alt moves over. Mekhi Becton shows up with a tummy bug on Friday morning. And the only guy you can look at is Chris Jones, who, again, he gets caught trying to make a hero ball play on the last play of the last play that mattered, essentially, of the game on the defense. And he gets put fairly under the spotlight for that. But I never saw anybody on that Chiefs defensive line make Trey Pipkins look like a backup. I never saw anybody make Mekhi Becton look like a guy who is struggling to catch his breath. I understand you lose to Joe Alt all day. He's a really, really, really good football player. But you can't all be in that headspace. And I wonder, truly, for the second or third year in a row, I wonder how many guys on this defensive line, not named Chris Jones, can win one-on-one matchups. And on Friday, the answer, I think, was zero. And it has to be a bigger number than that.
Maybe the rookies can help over time. Joshua, we appreciate it. We're out of time. We will catch you guys on the Chiefs Radio Network. It'll be the Sunday afternoon game. You can hear it here on 98.7 KNSS. Appreciate this first visit. I don't know how it's going to go next week. We'll see. Maybe it's full. Maybe people are just freaking out at that point.
We might have some slow weeks. I think we're going to talk about a lot more wins than losses, but I would have loved to start with a win.
I would do. The Chargers are good. The Chiefs are banged up. We're going to be okay. I think maybe not against the Eagles though. Josh, appreciate it.
Talk to you guys next week.
There goes Joshua Briscoe for the first time. Love that. Chiefs Radio Network. Going to be glad to have him on with us this week. Yeah, look, it's not going to get better quickly. So just brace yourself a little bit, Chiefs fans. I think, Tommy, they're going to figure out a way to win one of these games that maybe we're looking at right now as like a, because they are the Chiefs and they can do that. but at least a 50-50 shot right now. This team starts 1-3. I mean, it's on the table.
I mean, you know, look, I think that my my expectation for the year was that they would lose more games than they did a season ago, but be a better football team than they were a season ago.
Right.
I may come off that a little bit. I think they'll lose more games and maybe not be quite as good as they were a year ago. I think they'll still be good. They'll still be a playoff team and all of that. But we're going to need to see some things turn around here pretty quickly.
I think we have that conversation like at the bye week. Let's see a few games with Rice and if Worthy can get back, because that's the, like, this thing could turn around real fast if they can get some dudes back and go to that. But it's not there right now, and we'll navigate the early part of this season. What else did we take away from the opening day of the NFL? We'll get that next on Sports Daily.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jake Paul, Brock, Tommy Caster. You want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Get your free cup of tea on us. Just text the keyword tea to 20357. That's TEA 20357. Get a free cup of tea on us at Sports Daily. Good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or in Derby. Thanks to Joshua Briscoe. If you missed anything from his conversation on the Kansas City Chiefs, you can go back and listen to that. So we've laid it out there with the Chiefs. Could be a rough first month of the season. The things we were concerned about to start the year are especially concerning now because of injury and just what we saw on Friday in Brazil. So there we go. As we look around the rest of the NFL, Tommy, in the opening week here, we mentioned there in the first hour that the Packers looked really impressive. The Bills' comeback was one of the more entertaining games that we've seen. Aaron Rodgers looked really good, although the Steelers' defense didn't. But what if Rodgers looks like that and their defense is what it normally is? Then what are we looking at? But we know this is the NFL, Tommy. And we know a lot of this could turn upside down next year. Next week, I should say. Because that's the way this league rolls. And that's what happens in this league. But what else really stood out to you yesterday?
Well, yeah, I almost feel like, yeah, the Steelers defense didn't play amazing, but also the Jets offensively looked really good. Justin Fields had it kind of rolling. It was funny because I was watching
Breece Hall.
Yeah, I was watching NFL Red Zone yesterday, and I hadn't thought of it this way. Scott Hansen, who hosts Red Zone, called the Steelers-Jets matchup the Freaky Friday of the NFL, because you've got both quarterbacks that just swap their teams playing each other in week one. And I thought Justin Fields, I know that, of course, Aaron Rodgers is going to outshine Justin Fields and get all the attention and all of that, but I thought Fields looked really good, and Garrett Wilson looked solid after getting all that money in the offseason. Breece Hall, hopefully he'll have a resurgence this year. I think the Jets may not be quite as bad as everybody, you know, panned them out to be, because they do have weapons offensively, and Justin Fields can beat you with both his legs and his arm. And then on top of that, staying in that division, man, the Dolphins looked awful. They looked so bad.
They looked the worst of the week. I think they take that pretty easily.
Yeah, and they, I mean, they made Daniel Jones look like a Hall of Famer yesterday. And so I think that AFC East division may be one of the more entertaining divisions in football. If the Jets can keep this up, the Bills obviously, you know, were able to have that massive comeback. I'm really excited about that particular division.
Well, and also in that division, and I had it, and it was in parlay, so I didn't fully cash, but I really liked the Raiders this weekend against the Patriots. I think the Patriots' trajectory is in the right direction. I think they're going to be fine. To me, it's more about the Raiders, though. Like, Geno came out and threw for 360 yards in that game. They got Geno Smith and Pete Carroll there, and this relates more back to the Chiefs. The Broncos eke one out. They had just a boatload of turnovers. I was in Nashville, so a lot of people were paying attention to that game. I watched a lot of it. Just a ton of mistakes, and the Broncos were still able to overcome them. Obviously, the Chargers look good, and the Raiders look good. And I do, and I've thought this all off season. Like, I think there's a pretty decent chance we're talking about them as a team hovering around 500, kind of in that playoff mix a while. It's Pete Carroll and Geno Smith in LA with some pretty talented players now offensively. I don't know how good ultimately they can be defensively, but it is Pete Carroll. And they do have some talented skill guys there now. All of a sudden, Ginty didn't even do much, and they still looked pretty good. They've got weapons there. That was a game that stood out to me. Certainly, the Bengals, even though it wasn't impressive, figured out a way to not lose a game early in the season. That's been their MO for the last 3 years, is that they just start out of the gate so terribly. Well, they were able to eke that one out. That's certainly a team you don't want to see there at the end with a bunch of wins. Man, I'm glad the NFL's back. More than anything, like, it's just so great having the NFL. And with Vikings Bears tonight, I'm fired up for that game.
I think that's a great way to wrap up the week one of the season. I mean, you've obviously got, you know, two teams that after you watched the Packers and the Lions duel it out, and then you have another NFC North divisional matchup to wrap things up in primetime. I can't remember if it was TJ or Brandon on Thursday or Friday mentioned that I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, and then maybe I don't know if you know this or not, but I think 10 of the 16 games were divisional matchups in this week one. And I mean, that's huge. Like, the fact that you're kicking things off with a bang with games that very easily could and will have playoff implications right away, right out of the gate. You got to love that. That's always fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of them. I just tried to count and I didn't do it very well. That's what you want to see. And look, it is overreaction week in the NFL. This is where, like, everybody's going to lose their money next week. Just like, it's clockwork. We get this opening week, we think we have a read on things, and then next week it's going to be totally different, and you'll see, I don't know, you'll see the Colts give the Broncos a hard time, or the Panthers take the Cardinals down to the wire, or whatever it is. Like, it's coming, it's inevitable. Just, it is our natural inclination to overreact to the first week of the NFL because you think you learn all these things, but it is also the NFL where most games are decided within a touchdown and all of these things. San Francisco, worth mentioning, they looked healthy. They're on thin ice with their skill guys, but their skill guys were more or less all there yesterday, and they got the job done. I thought Rams-Texans was a sneaky big game. It was kind of boring. But the Rams find a way to get it done. There wasn't really a game, Tommy, of no significance this weekend, I didn't think. I mean, you could say Cardinals-Saints, but I would also tell you I kind of think the Cardinals are going to be good this year. So I don't think it's no significance. There weren't any of those games in this opening week,
maybe,
which was nice.
Maybe Colts and Dolphins. I think you probably go back to that one.
I would going into it. But then when you see the Colts be that impressive, and I know it's the Dolphins, but it's hard not to notice that they won 33-8, right? Daniel Jones has taken a team to the playoffs. It's been a long time. They do have Jonathan Taylor. Oh, by the way, DJ Giddens looked pretty good. He got 12 carries because it turned into a blowout. And they added Ty Warren. Do we all remember how much we loved Ty Warren last year watching the CFP? Like, they add him, they've got some, like, the Colts are going to be a playoff contender.
Yeah. And probably Jags Panthers, you can probably put in a game of no significance, right? Or very little significance. So that's probably one as well. You know, I even thought Bucks and Falcons. I mean, that's a game that, I mean, you're talking about
big time
implications for potentially that NFC South. And I thought Michael Penix Jr. looked good. Bijan Robinson picked up where he left off a season ago. And then all of a sudden, like, you really think that Tampa Bay is dead in the water, and here comes Baker, here comes the Big Show, and they get the job done. So that's going to be a really important game, I would think, for the outcome of that conference and the division.
That quarterback class, Bo Nix wasn't very good yesterday, but outside of him, they all look like they're going to be good, Tommy. And I wouldn't say I'm worried about Bo Nix or anything like that, but, like, all of those guys have a chance Daniels looked good yesterday. You just mentioned Penix, which is what made me think of this. Drake May had a nice day. And then we get the two guys tonight, the other two, Williams and McCarthy. That I just have this feeling that's going to be a class we're talking about for a long time. Are there any of those quarterbacks right now that you would say, I don't think that guy's going to be any good?
I mean, I know that McCarthy has a whole lot of expectations on him and a whole lot of promise. We've never seen him throw a pass in an NFL regular season game. So he's probably the only one that I'm reserving an opinion on until we actually see him play. He's the only one that didn't get anything a season ago. And then you contrast that with this year's class. And, you know, Cam Ward, it was the only one that he didn't get any help. He was fine.
He made some throws that should have been caught. Now, he actually looked pretty good.
That being said, and there are some implications here with the Chiefs, there could be a change at quarterback pretty quickly with the Giants. By the time that week three game happens with Kansas City, I mean, Brian Daboll already is not committing to Russell Wilson for week number two, and as people are wanting Jackson Dart to get in there right away because he had such a great preseason. I would anticipate Wilson will start in week two, but there's no guarantee about week three and beyond.
Yeah, they play the Cowboys and then the Chiefs and then the Chargers. There's not like a real good, maybe week five at the Saints, but you probably don't want him to start on the road. Then after that, it's going to be Eagles at Broncos at Eagles. I mean, if you're going to do it, like if you're going to do it, you got to do it at home. They play two home games. Maybe it is the Chiefs. Sunday Night Football, though. Gosh, why on earth did the Giants get put in a Sunday Night Football game?
You got to give them, you got to throw them a bone, I think, for like maybe one primetime game. I don't know.
I don't know. I say that jokingly. The Chiefs are going to have to deal with a lot. That's probably one that'll be like 17-14 or some, you know, silly game like that. Who knows? But a great opening week to the NFL. Did you make any money this weekend, Tommy?
No, I mean a little bit. I think I maybe was up a little bit, but it wasn't anything major. I was, you know, kind of going back and forth, you know, really focused in on college football on Saturday, NFL on Sunday. But then obviously you've got Royals playing too. And, you know, they're a couple games back. Yeah, at one point over the weekend, they were a half game back of the Mariners for that third wild card spot. Now they're two games back, but they're not out of the mix whatsoever. So it's going to continue to be every game is crucial, a very important week coming up for Kansas City.
And they didn't even do anywhere near what they should have done, right? Like it wasn't, they didn't have the kind of week that they should have had, and they're still just two games back. This American League race, I mean, at this point, what would make you think it's not going to go that way the rest of the way, right? Like you sit there in a week we thought they should go, you know, 5-1, and they go 3-3. It's like, okay, now they get to play the next seven games on the road without a day off here against Cleveland and Philadelphia. Two really good teams. One really good team and one pretty good team. What's going to happen in those seven games before the Seattle series? They'll probably go 4-3 or 3-4. And then, like, it's just the way this season's, like, there's no way around it. It's been that way all year. It's going to stay that way.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it's going to change anytime soon. You've got to claw enough out of there to be able to still be in the hunt. Jalen Thompson said it last week. I agree with him. It's probably going to come down to the final couple games of the regular season for them.
Yeah, we'll have Jalen Thompson in tomorrow, by the way, to help us sort through with the Royals. You'll hear him tonight on KNSS because you've got Monday Night Football right here on KFH. We're coming right back. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after.